Tonight's lesson is called Walking with God. How many of y'all like to walk with God? Of course, the title, where I got that from is Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8. And this verse, when I read it, I'm sure you know all of you have heard it before. It sounds so simple. Do you need papers? You got them? Okay. It says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Now, see, that's good. I love that verse just the way it is. But that's not exactly what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says in that last part, it says, "What does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Elohim." Oh, I just like that, don't you? Elohim. Elohim is the first time that name of God appears in the Bible is when in Genesis where he says, "Let us make man in our image." That "us" there is Elohim. And it's talking about the triune Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Think about walking with Elohim. I don't know. Something about that just goes all through me every time I think about it. Mike, you can drive your trucks with Elohim. I like that. I don't know. It's kind of like in the King James it says, God says, let there be light, and there was light. But in the Hebrew it says, God says, light be, and light was, man. Light showed up. Okay. You know? I mean, I like to walk with Elohim. Glory to God. Well, let's see how we do that. How does a person walk humbly with Elohim? Well, the prophet Amos, he gives us some more insight. Aren't you glad I put these on these so we're not flipping all through looking for Micah and Amos? We lose a lot of time tonight. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" See, the first step toward walking with God is to make up your mind, God cannot lie. That's your first step. You're never going to walk with God calling him a liar. You might as well get that straight. His word is truth. I mean, Sean and I get along pretty good. But if we were walking along all the time, and every time I said something, he'd say, "Well, that's not true." You know, and every time he said something, I said, "Well, that's not true." How much companionship and fellowship are we going to have here? And plus, I think we ought to go left. And he says, "No, I think we ought to go right." You're going to have a hard time walking together. See, and, I mean, it's a very simple statement. It's one of these simple statements, but it's profound. Hallelujah. Yeah, already. Okay. This is free. There's no extra charge. This isn't on your paper. God gave me the definition of pride. His definition. I like the way the Holy Ghost gives you definitions, you know. And it wasn't what I thought. Y'all remember the first time that Israel came up to possess the promised land? You know? And God had been telling them, you know. He says, "Don't fear these people in this land. I'm taking the land away from them. I'm giving it to you. I will be with you. My angel will go before you. And you'll possess the land," you know. I mean, he'd been telling them this and telling them this, right? So they go up there, and what they do is they pick out spies. They send them over to spy the land out. I don't know if there's anything particularly wrong with that. But then when they come back, 10 of the spies gave an evil report. 10 of the 12 spies. And what they said was, "Well, yeah, it is a good land, all right. I mean, it flows with milk and honey," and they brought back that big old deal of grapes, you know. Took two men, you know, to even just, they had those grapes on a pole. It took two men just to carry one clump of grapes. I'd say it's a pretty good clump, you know. Yeah, it's a good land. There's only one problem. These are warlike people. They have fortified cities, and they're trained for war. Plus, we saw the sons of Anak there, and the sons of Anak were giants. And they said, "We're like grasshoppers in their sight. These guys are big." And all the people joined in with the evil report. Okay? And so they're all going, "Oh, woe is us. We're not able to take the land. God just brought us out here to die. You know, here they go again, you know. We're not able to do it." And, you know the story. That group, except for Joshua and Caleb, the two that had the good report, the two that agreed with God, they're the only two that ever walked with God into that place. Now get that. But now here's the definition of pride. I never saw it before. I always thought they were afraid. And Hebrews talks about them being in unbelief. Of course, they were. The Holy Ghost this last week told me, that's the definition of pride. I said, "You don't have to, I don't understand that. What do you mean? They're afraid. They're not in pride. You know, because the way we think of pride, you know, an arrogant, prideful type person. He says, well, just phrase it like this. I, God, Most High, have given my word. I've given them my judgment over this situation. Fear not these people. I will be with you. You can take the land. They go in, make a physical assessment of the land. They look it over. They come back basically in my face. They stand right up in my face and say, we appreciate your opinion. However, we've seen this place and we've seen these giants. We'll be the judge here. And we say, our judgment is, we're not able to take the land. Had you ever thought about it quite like that? Is that pride personified or not? See, in James it says, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. The humble are those that will agree with God, take His judgment, no matter what your physical eyes see. Is that good stuff or what? That's previews of coming attractions. There's a whole lesson. There's a whole lesson goes with that. That's out of Jude. He's still opening up Jude for y'all that was here. If anyone didn't get a tape, by the way, from last week, they're on the table. Hallelujah. Anyway, so the first thing with God, if you see, to walk humbly with your God is the opposite of walking pridefully with your God. Isn't that right? Okay, so if you're going to walk humbly with Him, the step one is you got to get it straight. God's not going to lie to you. And what He says, you got to agree with Him. That's step number one. Okay. Now the first, that's right below Amos 3:3 there. It says the first step toward walking with God is to make up your mind. God cannot lie. His word is truth. Now get this. The Apostle John tells us that we are to walk as Jesus walked. Y'all tell the truth. First time you ever read that verse, did it scare you?
Yeah.
I tell you the truth, first time I ever read 1 John, I wondered if I was really saved. You know, that's a hard book. It's a hard book, you know. And I was going, man, walk as Jesus walked. They didn't teach this at the first church. You know, what are you even talking about, man? And this same Apostle John, he said that in 1 John 2:6. See, he that saith he abides in Him. How many of y'all in here abide in Christ? Now, come on, come on. Take a stand. Are you in Christ? Are you saved?
Yeah.
Okay, you're in Christ then.
I abide in Him like I want to.
Well, to abide in Christ just means, you know, to be in Christ. You're saved. You're in Him, okay? God, not that mean. Okay. See, the thing of it is, though, you qualify for at least the potential of this. Because He says, he that says he abides in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Well, now let me ask you. I'll ask Mike. Mike's hard-nosed and thick-skinned. Mike, would you like to walk like Jesus walked?
Yes.
There's no problem there, right? And if I asked everybody in here, would you like to? See, our problem is not that we don't want to. Our problem is we don't know how. We don't know how. I said, huh? Yeah. Well, but it gets in the way of everybody. But see, Jesus overcame His flesh. You know, His flesh came from Mary, which came from Adam. So He had the same kind of flesh we got. He overcame His. So, you know, so we're trying to learn to walk as He walked. He was able to do it. We're trying to follow in His footsteps. Okay, now, I said last night, most people think that the problem is Christians don't have enough inspiration. Inspiration. God says that's not the problem. He says, in Hosea 4:6, He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of inspiration. It's a lack of information that's doing it. See, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, or you could say faith comes by hearing what God says. Right? So as you get information, that's when you stop being destroyed. Because you're able to walk in it. Again, that's free. There's no extra charge for that. But anyway, if we can find out how, at least, and we're only talking about step one tonight. Would y'all be interested? To walk like Jesus walked, I would. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with Elohim. I want to walk. Enoch walked with Elohim. It says, Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God. And then one day, Enoch was not, for God took him. Glory to God. He walked with Elohim clear to heaven before the rapture. He says, I ain't waiting, I'm gone. Either that or God says, I can't stand it, come home with me. But the man didn't even die. He walked into heaven with a physical body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That gets you going. You get to think about that. And he's the seventh from Adam. I mean, seventh from Adam. Past death went straight, past go. Don't collect. Past death went straight to heaven. Hallelujah. Anyway, this same apostle John told us how to walk as Jesus walked in his third epistle. And that's 3 John. Well, it says chapter 1. There's only one. 3 John verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. See, if you're going to walk as Jesus walked, you're going to walk in God's truth. Jesus says, I don't do anything except what I see my Father doing. I don't say anything except what I hear my Father saying. Everything he did and everything he said, he was walking in God's truth. Okay? This will get clearer in a little bit now. Most people do not... By the way, most people don't realize that walking in the truth, that verse, is a prerequisite for walking in prosperity. Do y'all realize that verse comes right... I mean, this is heavy, deep revelation. 1 John verse 3, 3 John verse 3 comes after 3 John verse 2. Y'all glad you came now, right? You'd have missed that. But see, that verse 2 is the one we all want, isn't it? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And that's not just talking about money. It is talking about money. It's talking about your whole life. It really means a prosperous journey. Everything about your life. Walk with God is what he's talking about. Say, walk with Elohim. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. But hardly anybody ever reads the next verse, which is the one we just read. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. First, you got to get it in you. Notice that. First, you got to get it in you. And then, even as thou walkest in the truth. See, that's what caused the guy to be able for John to say, man, you're going to prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers, walking in truth. Okay. Now here's the sad part. David, I almost wish it wasn't like this. Walking in the truth is a far cry from knowing the truth. How many of y'all know the speed limit's 60 or whatever, How many of y'all always, you understand what I'm saying? Knowing the truth and walking the truth, two different things, See, and like I always say, Thursday night, come in here and I'll get you all rah-rah about speak God's word, which we're going to talk about tonight, speaking God's word, all right, boy, from now on I'm going to speak God's word until tomorrow about 10 o'clock and somebody says something, you go, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent, somehow you heard it, you know it, but when it comes showtime, when it comes, time to put up or shut up, suddenly we're back to the world's way, back to the world's way. And the devil goes, oh, whew, escaped again. He's afraid of you walking in truth. Truth's the only thing the devil's afraid of. He's not really afraid of you. He's afraid of the truth you walk in. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. I don't care if I did say it. Hallelujah. How does a person begin his walk with Elohim? The first thing he's going to have to do is agree with what God says, in spite of all circumstantial evidence to the contrary. Now, I'm going to give an example that everybody in here can relate to, because everybody in here was... Everyone say with me, once I was lost, now I'm saved. See, I know every one of you is going to be able to relate to this one, because now watch. When I first got saved, this verse seemed almost sacrilegious for me to say it out loud. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made... Now, you got to remember, I was raised in the first church. You understand me? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now this is, I knew that part. They taught that part real well. This was the part. That we might be, the reason he did that was that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I was not trained to believe that. I knew I was saved by the blood of the Lamb. The church I was raised in, they'd get you saved. I knew I was saved by the blood of the Lamb, but I did not understand the extent to which the Father God had declared me to be righteous. My mindset was, and I dare say the vast majority of church at large, their mindset still is, that I'm an old sinner, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. That sounds right, doesn't it? It sounds good. Sounds right. The trouble is, it doesn't agree with what God says. He doesn't say that I am an old, that I'm the same old sinner, and that the only difference now that I'm saved is that I'm a forgiven old sinner. God doesn't say that. God says, see, in the same passage, I'm not taking it out of context. We just read 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're backing up to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Same passage, same author, same subject. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That there's several Greek words that are translated new in the King James Bible. One of them is more like what we would call renew. Someone would give you let's say you had a leather chair and it was getting all cracked. You know, starting to crack. You see those little hairlines and everything? So they get some oil or tanning stuff, you know, and they start working that in and fixing it and everything, you know, and making that leather, it's putting moisture into it, so now it's renewed. See, and there's a Greek word that talks like that, like something that's already there, but now you've made it better, okay? That's not what this Greek word is at all. This Greek word is the one that's spelled, wherever, K-A-I-N-O-S, and it means something brand new that never existed before. Now, Donna, how can you be the same old sinner, just forgiven now, if God says, no, you're not, you're somebody that never existed before? Those two, you cannot square those two. One is a lie, one is the truth. See, you're going to have to take one or the other. You can't straddle that. You can't live that way. You're not going to walk with Elohim that way. You see what I'm saying? Now, once I found that out, I had a choice to make. I can either walk in the traditions of the denomination I was raised in and continue to say that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, parentheses, in which case I will never be able to walk with God in the works that He wants to do through me, because I'd never feel worthy. I'd always just feel like it as, well, I'm really not changed. I'm just the same old sinner. You know, only difference now, I'm a forgiven old sinner. You know? So you're always under condemnation. See? And how's God going to raise the dead through you? You thinking like that. How's God going to open blind eyes with you thinking like that? That's not even the truth. God can't walk with you while you're thinking that way. Not in that area. God walks with you in any area where you believe His truth. God will walk with you because you two are agreed there. A lot of people that walk in salvation, God will walk with them there. He can't walk with them in healing because they won't agree with Him. A lot of people walking in salvation and healing that can't walk in prosperity. They don't agree with God when it comes to prosperity. They don't agree with what He says. You walk with Him there, you'll get some of that prosperity. He's got it, plenty of money. You know, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. That means everything in it. The world and they that dwell therein. I'd say that about covers it. The earth and everything in it, that'll probably cover your case. You know?
Doesn't say in 1 John that the Lord will deliver whatever you ask if you believe it can be so? I mean, maybe not close to those words.
Well, similar to that. Very similar to that. Yeah. First, it's in kind of thing.
If you believe it to be so.
Yeah, if you believe it. And so that's called faith. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, okay, we finished the parentheses. I can either hold to those old traditions that I was taught growing up, or, everyone say or. Or I can agree with God. And see, you're going to have to begin saying what God says. You can start saying, well, I am brand new. Everyone say, I am brand new. Now, just say it like it's written. The old Gary Carpenter is dead. Everyone say, thank God for that. Now, each one of you say for yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not an old sinner.
Saved by grace.
I was an old sinner.
I got saved by grace.
Now I am the righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
You're starting to walk with God now. You're starting to step out with Elohim. Okay? Now watch. He says, I'm a born again. See, here's the truth. You're not the same old sinner. No. You're a born again spirit person. That's where you got born again. You got born again in your spirit. You're a born again, brand new spirit person that never existed on the earth before. But you're living in a body that's still capable of sin. That's the truth. Yeah, that's the truth, see. But if you believe that other way, there's no power to change. I'm just that old sinner. What does he expect of me? No, he says, you're not either. I gave you a new spirit, and I put my spirit in you. Now, that body you're wearing, it's capable. It ain't been saved yet. It isn't going to get saved next week. It's not going to get saved till the rapture. Y'all know I'm preaching to myself now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not going to get saved. But see, if you believe I'm a new creature, well, hey, you know, there's hope. But if I'm still that old sinner, just the same old guy, there's no been. I'm just a forgiven same old guy. Well, I couldn't quit sinning before. I can't quit sinning now if you believe that. Y'all liking this so far? Hallelujah. It gets better. Hallelujah. See, now that's the truth. You're a born-again spirit person living in a body that's still capable of sin. That's the truth. Their tradition keeps me powerless because it says I'm unchanged. Only forgiven. The truth says I have been born again. Now, it don't seem like it, but this is what the Word says. With the same nature within me as Christ Himself. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Anytime you all see a hallelujah like that, that means when I was typing it, I was about to have a running fit, okay? I couldn't stand it. I had to put a hallelujah. Glory to God. Agree. Now see, if you just agreeing with God on this one thing, wait a minute, I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I'm a new creature that never existed before. Just that one revelation right there, see, it starts opening you up. Agreeing with God on this one truth causes me to go on to understand more truth. See, once you understand that, other verses will start making sense. And I listed some of them. Since I'm a brand new spirit man, now I can understand how I can grow stronger, see. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, you're a brand new person, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And in Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, now I understand then that the Word of God is food. Say, the Word of God is my food.
The Word of God is my food.
See, and it's food for your spirit man, that new part of you. Then praying in the Holy Ghost causes my spirit man to understand, and that's like your digestive system, the food that you're taking in. See, now why does that process cause a person to grow and get stronger? Because the more of the truth I understand, the more of the truth I can walk in. The more of the truth I can walk in, the more I can walk with Elohim. Isn't that good? That's good stuff, isn't it? Okay, so if you want to grow, you need two things, the Bible tells you. You need the Word of God. You need to desire the... Which you guys, if you weren't desiring the Word of God, you wouldn't be here tonight. See? But you got to get that Word in you. That's your food. That's what your spirit man... That new guy, he lives by the Word of God. You know? I live by banana pudding. My flesh. It likes banana pudding. Okay? But your spirit man on the inside, it likes the Word of God. That's what makes it grow. And then it really likes it if you give time to the teacher, where the Holy Spirit can come to your new spirit and start explaining that Word of God to you so you can walk with Elohim. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, see, God's thoughts, Elohim's thoughts, through that process, becomes your thoughts. His ways become your ways. You can be more and more like Jesus. And as the Apostle John said, walk as he, Jesus, walked. Now, Jesus walked in God's truth. We should walk in God's truth. Is it warm in here to you guys? It's pretty warm. Hallelujah. 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 Now, how many of y'all were at the church last night and heard that message? Okay? And as soon as I have copies of that, they'll be available here. Now, see, we're tonight we're only on step one, really, of what I taught last night. Because a lot of people hear this kind of a message, and they'll start off getting their confession in line with God. And that is the first step. See, that is the first step. You're never going to walk with Elohim if you don't agree with what he says. But it's only the first step. Now, again, this is a preview. And since everybody didn't have benefit of hearing the message last night, and I can't teach that whole lesson again right now, but let me just say this. Knowing what somebody says is one thing. Trusting them that their word is good is another. Somebody could have written a 50-volume set of encyclopedias describing Sue, my wife. And maybe I read those and I just loved these books, you know, and I thought this was a wonderful person, and I had read all 50 volumes several times in my life. So, and these volumes told a lot about Sue, what she liked to eat, the kind of clothes she liked to wear, where she liked, kind of movies she liked. It could have told me a lot of things about Sue, but I would never have come to know Sue until I come spend time with Sue. See, I could have known a lot about her, but that trust relationship, where I can know her, that only comes by spending time with her. Amen. Now, you start off agreeing with God. You just say, whatever you say, that's what I say. Okay? But now, and that's good. That is step one. But to really come to the place where you walk with Elohim, you're going to have to know Elohim. You're only going to do that through fellowship, prayer time, talk to him once in a while. You know, then talk to him, tell him that you love him, your word is truth, worship, that kind of thing. Okay, we'll get into those steps in succeeding weeks. But that's really what last night's lesson was about, see. When you start lifting up the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that he did all of that just because he loves you and wanted to set you free, that's when it starts making sense. Okay? All right. Action page, walking with God. G-A-W-D, God. God. To walk with God, I must... This is a little recap. To walk with God, I must agree with God. Any problem there? What he says is truth, regardless of whether it agrees with my present circumstances or not. When I believe what God believes, faith has come. He has given me his faith. Now all that means is what he believes. In seed form, the word of God. Every subject you can think of, raising kids, a marriage, your job, your ministry, your health, your money, everything that God believes about all those subjects, he's already told us. He's given us this book. He sent his own son to tell us what God believes. It's all right here. Okay? Now, it's like a seed, though. God believes this, but our problem is we don't. See, I know this is a simple example, but he showed it to me one time. He says, son, think of it. I'm sitting here in heaven with all resources at my disposal. See, I honestly believe that I am Jehovah Jireh. I am their provider. I believe this. I know I am. I can't get them to believe it. You know? And so the whole process is going from where we don't believe it to where we do believe it. Well, that process begins with, well, what did he say? You know, what did he say? And start saying, well, boy, that doesn't look like it's true in my life. But he said it. Yep. He can't lie. Maybe he and I just haven't been walking together real well. You know? Maybe I just need to change what I've been saying to at least agree with him. That's step number one. That one verse says that you have the truth in you first, and then that you walk in the truth. Remember that? Okay. Now, he has given me his faith, what he believes in seed form, the word. Since I now have faith as a seed, I say, every time I agree with God by saying what God says, my believing is changed to agree with God. Boy, now, these next two sentences will change your life if you can get a hold of them. Every faith failure that you ever had or ever saw anybody else have, where it looked to you like these people were in faith, they were saying the right thing, at least around you, Everything seemed to be right, and yet what they were believing for didn't happen. The answer is in these next two sentences. 100% of the time, there's no exceptions. God does not make exceptions. He doesn't answer Donna's prayer and not Pat's. He doesn't have any favorites. If he did, it'd be me. No, I'm teasing. God, I'm sorry. I was just teasing. I was teasing. No. I was teasing. Now, God has no... Now, He rewards you different based on your works. That's different. But He has no faith. He loves everybody the same. He's not capable, believe it or not, God's not capable of loving Sean any less than He loves Sue. Can y'all believe that about God? God is. Everyone goes, Sean thought last night when I was asking, now, who could we get to be the embodiment of the flesh, the stink? He thought I was going to call on him. Everybody knew it was going to be Brad. Everybody. I heard it all over the church. Brad. You know? We had a good time last night. Yes, we love Brad. We certainly do. And plus, he loves me enough he won't get mad at me for doing something like that. And neither would you. I didn't mean that.
Oh, no.
Neither take offense nor give offense, anyway. Hallelujah. Here's these two sentences. Every faith failure you ever saw. You all know what I mean by that? I prayed, and it didn't happen. That's what I'm talking about. I thought I was in faith. I thought I was on the Word, but it didn't happen. Okay? I prayed for so-and-so, and they died. All right? Every one of those is in these next two sentences explain all those. You ready? You like a little hamburger with your milk? Hallelujah. Here we go. To know mentally what God says is knowledge, not faith. That's really the lesson from last night. I guess I'm going to have to recap that a little bit. The message last night was called War with Amalek. The first enemy that come out against God's people when they were going, they weren't even in the promised land yet. They were just headed to the promised land. Okay? And the very first enemy that come out against them was Amalek. Amalek is a type of the flesh. They are descendants of Esau, the firstborn, a type of Adam. Esau sold his birthright for one mess of pottage, something to eat. Adam gave up his dominion by partaking of the fruit. Same thing. Esau's descendants, Amalek, is a type and a shadow from the Old Testament of the flesh. So here's Israel. Or here's like Thursday night Bible study. Yes, I'm going to agree with Elohim. Hallelujah. My confession, I'm going to walk the floor and speak the word, I tell you. Gary finally got through to me. Yes, I'm going to schedule an hour tomorrow, and I'm not going to do anything else but walk the floor and speak God's word. I'm going to agree with Elohim, I tell you. And then tomorrow, about whatever time you set to do that, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you may just get started. Just get started, 5 minutes into it, and something I'm telling you now is going to rise up in you and say, this is stupid. This is not accomplishing anything. You'd be better. You need to wash the car. You need to vacuum. You need to do something. Anything but this. Because the flesh knows that if you start agreeing with Elohim, the flesh is going to die. That's the reason Amalek came out there. Israel was... Amalek lived in the promised land too. And they knew that if Israel possessed the land, they were going to die. They were fighting for their life. Well, that thing that rises up in you every time you say, I'm going to spend 1 hour a day, bless the Lord God, praying in other tongues. I'm going to do it. I'm telling you. And you get, you commit to do it. And then that hour rolls around to do it. And if you even get to it at all, you get started. After the first 5 or 10 minutes, it gets hard. When you're starting this, okay? That's the flesh. It knows if you keep doing that, it's going to die. You can't back anything into a corner and make you think, that's the cat I was talking about last night. That's an 18-pound cat, AC is. Gentlest thing on earth, just a real gentle cat. You get him scared, back him into one of these corners where he thinks you're going to kill him, that boy will come after you. He'll come out fighting, because why? It's self-preservation. He doesn't want to die. Your flesh doesn't either. It wants to remain Lord. It wants you to believe what you see. It wants you to believe all your present circumstances, and it sure wants you to tell it like it is. The Spirit of God says, no, don't be telling it like it is. You tell it like I say it is. You call those things that be not as though they were. Agree with me, Elohim says. Let the weak say, I am strong. Okay? Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the poor say,
I am rich.
I am rich. Boy, David jumped right on that one. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay. See, but it's so deceptive. Because once you've heard the truth, so you've got knowledge of it. And most people think that's faith. No, you've got knowledge of it. It's not in your heart in abundance. I talk with people all the time that maybe they've had what's, quote, a faith failure, you know? And we get to talking and say, well, I was believing that. I mean, I knew, you know, really. And I get to talking to them about faith, you know? And I say, well, let me, you know, you remember what I did a week or two ago about how many could really quote the nine gifts of the Spirit? You'd be surprised how many people can't quote Mark 11:23 or 24. They're trying to live by faith. I mean, this is almost an impossible thing for a human being anyway. To live by faith and not by sight. How many of y'all know that does not come natural to human beings? Human beings are programmed to live by sight. What you see, what you hear, what you feel, that's what you live by. Okay? God says, no, you don't live by my word. You live by something you can't see. That does not come natural. The foundation for faith, if he's going to pick two verses, that is the foundation for faith. It's Mark 11:23 and 24. You start talking with people that just recently had a faith failure, you seldom ever can they even quote it to you. They don't even know what, I mean, they're kind of halfway, you know. It's not in them in abundance. It's not even in them in abundance mentally, much less in their heart in abundance. Don't be telling me it's in your heart in abundance, and you don't even have it in your mind in abundance. Quiet in here now.
No.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, wasn't that nice? I didn't ask anybody to quote it, though. Now, here it is, though, see? Mark 11:20. Okay, let me back up. See, and people people mistake head knowledge for heart faith all the time. They're hard to distinguish at first. It's hard to tell the difference. I struggled with this one issue right here probably more than the... I'm an engineer by training. Engineers are very mental people. Calculations and we do everything mental. That's where we make a living, you know? Okay? And so, to me, when I got something mentally, I had it. Well, when I found these scriptures about Jesus is my healer, I thought I had it, you know? But I didn't have it. I had knowledge of it. I did not know Jesus the healer. You got to be kidding. Trust him. Know him. Spent time with him, you know? It was in my head. I had head knowledge. Faith doesn't come out of the head. Faith is an issue of the heart. To believe in my heart the same thing that God believes is called faith. Faith is an issue of the heart, not the head. And I put these verses so you could see it. Jesus saith, it's Mark 11:22 and 23, and Jesus saith unto them, have faith in God. And you all heard me teach that lesson. The Greek actually says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where?
In his heart.
Shall not doubt where?
In his heart.
But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It doesn't say a thing about believing it in your head, does it? Faith doesn't come out of the head. It doesn't. It comes out of your spirit. Faith is a force of the spirit. Okay? Engineering is a force of the mind. Engineering is a force of the mind. I could teach anybody engineering if you just had enough time. Okay? And it's all mental. But faith comes out of the heart. Faith actually works by love. Until you have enough relationship with the Lord that there's a heart thing, a love thing going on between you and Him, it's hard to walk in faith. That's, again, referring back to somewhat to last night. Sorry about it. That's warm in here, I know. Whew. We've been doing a lot of cooking today. Y'all okay? The anointing, uh-huh. Hallelujah. Okay, let's say that. It's the anointing, Mike says. Hallelujah. To have the faith of God, you're going to have to believe what God says about your mountain. I'll be glad when I get to the place I hear him like that all the time, wouldn't y'all? I mean, you know, it's possible if you're walking with Elohim. I know it's possible. I know Jesus walked like that all the time, just walking and talking with Elohim. Glory to God. Think about it, Andy. Just walking it. What do you do today? Walking and talking with Elohim. We went out and blew out a few mountains that was in the way of some people. Just blew them away. You know? Hallelujah. Elohim said to me, say to that mountain. I said, and it went. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to talk about next here, see? To have the faith of God, you're going to have to believe what God says about your mountain. Now, what is your mountain? What is your mountain? Tammy could tell you about some mountains tonight. I happened to talk with her. Couldn't stand up, honey. Show them a mountain. There's one right there. Okay? She got a mountain. So she got some other ones. Hallelujah. Well, everybody in here, if I interviewed you, has got mountains. I got some mountains. Hallelujah. What is your mountain? Do you have a mountain of financial lack? What does God say about that? Okay? Find out what he says about that and agree with him by beginning to say what he says about that mountain. Is your mountain sickness or disease? What does God say about that? Agree with Elohim. Say what he says. See, God has given us what he believes concerning every area of life. The Bible calls us believers, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
our job as, quote, believers is to agree with what he has already said. He will now here's the part we might as well get started, because look, he'll never change his mind. We're going to have to change ours. You know? I mean, he says, I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. Now, you might as well get it straight. He ain't going to change. Well, I want to believe prosperity the way they taught it at the first church. You're welcome to do that and walk your own path away from Elohim if you want to. Because he only walks the path of his word. And if you're going to walk with him, guess what? You're going to have to get on the path of his word. I don't care what the first church taught you. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Because, you know, of course, you know that scripture, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, the examples, don't anybody leave. Now, you're going to make me upset. I'm going to call you on the phone if you leave your paper here tonight. At least the second one. This is how you do it. I am showing you all and giving you a start. This is how you do it. Now, huh? Well, I want it to work for. I want you to come in here so stinking rich. You say, how many thousands do you need? And I'll take it out of my petty cash without ever touching my cash reserves. Because see, God's looking for some humble rich folks.
That's right.
He's tired. He's got plenty of humble poor folks. The devil laughs at that.
Wow.
The devil laughs at that. I heard a man of God say recently. He said, the devil will fight harder over the money than he'll fight over souls. Because he knows if he's got the money, he can get the souls. He can keep hiring all these Hollywood lost people to program the whole generation towards him. He can continue with the. Did y'all hear how much it cost to run a commercial on the Super Bowl? Hundreds of thousands of dollars for 30 seconds, you know, or something like that. Millions or something for 30 seconds. See, the devil's got the money, laughing at the church. Because the only reason we don't have it, we're stupid. We don't walk with Elohim on the path that God has laid out. It's hard, but it's right. God did not put the money on the earth for the devil and his bunch. God put the money here for Adam and his family. Adam lost it, okay? Jesus got it back. And the money, as far as God's concerned, belongs to Jesus and his bride. And the devil's got it because the church is stupid. We've not walked, and the only thing I mean by that, we've not walked with Elohim. We don't believe what he believes. We don't say what he says. We all still believe in church tradition that the first church put in us. And it's not what God says. God says that the silver and the gold is mine. He says, I shake the nations and bring it to my temple. And this temple shall exceed that of Solomon's, he says. How many churches you know got richer temples than Solomon? Y'all ever read about Solomon's temple? You ought to read about it sometime. It was quite something. Most churches I know are having garage sales trying to raise enough money to buy a few songbooks. You know? Sorry. Now, you shouldn't have done that. See? See what you did? I got off on a rabbit trail. You start talking about my hot button now. I get tired of the devil having the money. It makes me mad. I'm getting really tired of it. Hallelujah. Now, these are my verses. You guys have heard me teach this enough to know. These prosperity. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've lived this way over 2 years. These three verses alone. Well, and actually, Matthew 6:33. I should have put it on there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right now, if in your life, I like the way Norval teaches this. I got to do it like Norval says. Norval says, God will prosper you. Jesus is your healer. Jesus will become to you whatever He says that He is. If you call Him your healer, He'll become that to you. If you call Him your provider, He becomes that to you. If you call Him your peace, He becomes that to you. And He'll preach like that, and somebody will raise their hand and say, but Norval, I'm broke, and I'm sick, and I love God, Norval, but I'm broke, and I'm sick, and my head's sore. God tickles me. You know what Norval's answer is? Well, you're a mess. If you're like that, you're not walking with God. That's not what God says He wants for your life. Jesus said, thy will be done. And it's not be done in any of your life. That's not... Jesus didn't take those stripes on His back for you to be sick. He didn't take that poverty for you not to have your needs met. He didn't shed His blood for your kids to go to hell. Glory to God. Jiminy. Prosperity. See how quiet I am now? This was the way I did it. I got real teachable because I had to find out fast. God had us out there on a limb financially so far. I didn't have time to listen to the first church no more, nor any other unbelieving preachers. I had to find out from God. Praying in the Holy Ghost and listening to Pastor Dave's tapes, if you want to know the truth about it. He laid the foundation. He got me at least my thinking in the right direction. If you don't have his set of tapes, three tapes set on prosperity, you ought to get it. It's really good. But anyway, I got to understanding I have got to reject everything that I was taught in the first church if it disagrees with what God says in His Word. These three verses right here. You all know the story. Now, God told me, don't imitate me. God told me to take these three verses in addition to my praying in tongues time now. 4 hours a day. Why so much? I had to find out quick. I had to get the revelation of this. We had no other income. The devil would have loved to have starved us out financially, where we'd have quit, give up, gone back to whatever job I could find. Oh, the devil would have loved that. See, come close. It got really bad. Anyway, all you do is you take what God says. Take the Scripture. This is what God believes. God believes that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, God believes, for your sake, Jesus became poor. For Elizabeth's sake, Jesus became poor, that Elizabeth, through His poverty, might be rich. And I don't care what the first church says about it. I don't care what they say about it next week, next month, next year. This is what God says about it. He says, in plain old Potawatomi talk, He says, I sent Jesus to bear the curse of poverty for Elizabeth, and I fully expect for her to walk in His wealth. When that happens, you'll be walking in truth. Because this is what God believes. God believes this next one. I really like this next one. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. And nearly everybody else I know does too. I'm sorry. Why does He say young lions? So you start speaking these over and over again, it's going to start rolling in your spirit. Why use that metaphor? Why young lions? Well, who's the king of the beast? The most fierce animal of the jungle. take one, a young one in his prime. We're not talking an old toothless geezer lion here. Okay? Yeah, a young lion. How many of y'all would like to go up face to face with a young lion? You know? Yeah. An old geezer lion, you know? You know, we could understand an old geezer out trying to run after a rabbit. I'll get the rabbit, you know? You know? You can't run anymore. And if he finds him, he can't chew him. He's got no teeth. You know? Anyway. But he says young lion because he's saying, I'm telling you, what he's drawing a comparison is with your best efforts, folk. With a young lion's best efforts, with all of his natural abilities, with all of that keen sight, with all of that strength in his legs to jump. Sometimes in their own strength, even with all of that, sometimes they go hungry and they don't have enough. But they that seek the Lord shall not want, and that word means lack, any, everyone say any, good thing. Now right about there, your flesh, Amalek, is going to jump out and say, you lack a lot of good things. That verse is not true, and you ought to quit saying it. You're lying. You need to tell it like it is. Go whine to your friends about how you don't have what you need. That's what the flesh wants. See? But those that are going to walk with Elohim are going to have to agree with Elohim. Now, Elohim believes that. He says, I declare to everybody forever, here is my word, settled in heaven and settled in earth forever, those that seek me shall not lack any good thing. I don't care what the first church says about it. I don't care what you say about it, really. I'm going to walk in it whether you do or not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said more hamburger was coming. Y'all remember? More meat? I don't know. How about this one? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. 3/4 of your need. Half your need. Sometimes, if he's in a good mood that day, one need. All your need. Barely. Oh, okay. I was making sure. According to the garage sales down on 3rd Street. No? According to barely cast off rags that other people don't want anymore. Huh? Huh? Does it say that? According to his riches, where? Jasper walls, diamond doorknobs, gold streets. How does he get it to you? By the anointing. Y'all remember those lessons I taught about the anointing of increase that abides on Jesus Christ? He is your anointing. It's God the Father providing it. See, it's our God, the Father, that provides it. But he does it by the anointing of Jesus Christ. That's why every time one of you guys gives us any money or, you know, anybody sows into us, I lay my hands on that. I speak that anointing of increase on it. We're not going to have any loaves and fishes going to waste around here. You hear me? I want that anointing touching your stuff. Because I want you rich.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Where's the offering?
No, we're not taking offerings. Especially when I preach this way. There's no offering. Hallelujah. My God does supply. To over 2 years. It's amazing. I'm getting more used to it now. But Sue and I still, over 2 years. Glory to God. I remember when the first 6 months went by and Sue looked at me one day and went, neither one of us has had a job in 6 months and we're not dead yet. We're not living under a bridge. We live in the same house. We got the same car. There's food in the refrigerator. You know, it's not normal. Well, it's not normal according to the world, according to the flesh. Elohim believed it all the time. He told Mike about it, Matthew 6:33. He said it all the time, didn't he?
Oh, yes.
If you'll seek first my kingdom, all these things will be added to you. And he's just been doing that. Hallelujah. Seed. There's just, and it doesn't take a whole lot of them, you guys. It takes three or four. The Bible says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. To me, that means you find at least two or three scriptures. Don't be trying, I handed out a sheet, and you know, called those prosperity scriptures, and those are good. I mean, but there's a whole bunch of them, 20 some odd maybe on there. That's too many, you know. Pick out your favorite three or four, and just do those. Let that pound in you and work in you and just roll those over and say them and say them right in the face of all your contrary circumstances. Call those things that be not as though they were and start walking the path that Elohim is on. I like walking where He is. I found out if I can get where He is, there's all kinds of good stuff there. So you got to walk that path. Okay, so if prosperity, now I picked those three. Those are the ones He told me. And really, I guess, I don't know if I should say it. Those are the ones that I came up with out of all those prosperity scriptures. Those are the ones that just hit me. Okay? Pick you three or four for you. If your problem is health, you know, get you some seed. Here's three or four verses here. I got three. Get you three or four verses as seed. What God says. What Elohim, what does He say about it? See? Well, 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay? Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, who's that? Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now you start saying that for an hour or so, and it's going to dawn on your lightning quick mind, why did He do that? So you don't have to have them anymore. He got your sickness, put them on His shoulders, and walked off with them, so you don't have to have them. It'll dawn on you. Oh, I don't have to be sick anymore. Hallelujah. And about that time, I can tell you right now, Satan's going to come to steal the word. Right about there, when you're starting to get the revelation, is when you're most likely going to have some bout with some symptoms. Because Satan's going to challenge you. And he's going to say, let's see if you want to walk on this path. It's a narrow path that Elohim walks on. Let's see if you're going to stay on that path or not. He'll challenge you to see if you're going to do it. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:3. I love this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? All of them. Now, we could have picked a ton more. How about I will bless thy bread and thy water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. You could have chose that one. That's a wonderful verse. You could have picked from Exodus, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And actually the Hebrew word there is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord, or Rophi. Anyway, the Lord thy healer. The Lord your healer. You could pick a lot of verses. Pick the ones that minister to you, though. How about peace of mind? Nobody in here has any trouble with worry, do you? Huh? No worry? Nobody in here worries. Well, I'll just give these to you anyway, just in case someday you might accidentally think about worrying. But here's what God believes about worrying. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light. God believes that He is your light and your salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord, He believes that He is the strength of your life. If that's the case, Pat, of whom should you be afraid? If Elohim is the strength of your life, see? Say that about 100 times and try and worry. Try, okay? Just try. See how, you know, you can't do it. How about this next one? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Glory to God. How about Matthew 10:29-31? Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And I think it should say one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Sean, think of it. Even Sean's head, God says, the very hairs of his head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, Sean. You are of much more value than many sparrows.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You know that song that Pastor Dave likes? His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. Glory. Isn't it good? See, now I only picked 3 areas. Prosperity, health, peace of mind. Okay? Prosperity would include things like cars. It would include, right in the face of every circumstance. It would include... You think I'm just talking about you, but I'm not. I always like to tell people that if their calling is to be a housewife, for example, I mean, God just called me to be a housewife and raise these kids. Well, I can believe that. I honestly believe that. You know, if that's the case, God, you know, and you need an oven, did you know God becomes your oven provider? My God supplies all of my tapping ovens according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Glory.
Your refrigerator, need a refrigerator. My God shall supply all my refrigerators according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If that's what He called you to do, He's your provider in it.
Amen.
If you'll say He is. He says He is. What are you saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, health. That includes, you know, I don't have to talk about peace of mind. Let me read you this verse. I want to get to teach, hopefully again, on Philippians pretty soon, again. Paul tells you the key to prosperity right here. Besides the giving. Giving's involved. The grace of the Lord Jesus is involved. You know, Him bearing your poverty, that's the foundation. But He gave the key right here. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. I'll wait till you get there. I don't have this one on the paper. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:6. And it says, oh, I still hear pages turning, as they say. Hallelujah. In the King James it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, if you do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many people you know, if we could ever learn that as soon, worry should be like a trigger. If you catch yourself worrying, that ought to be your cue to pray. See, because that word careful there means don't be anxious. Let me read it out of the Amplified. Philippians 4:6. How fast can I find it? Philippians 4:6. Not bad. In the Amplified it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Stop right there for a minute.
What?
Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That means anytime you catch yourself fretting or in anxiety at all about anything, that ought to be your cue. Whoops, time to pray. I'm not going to handle this in my strength. If it's something to fret at all, I'm not going to handle it in my strength. I'm going to go pray. Paul wrote this letter to his number one financial supporters. And he wants to keep them that way. Do you understand me? They needed to prosper. And if you tie it in with 1 and 2 Peter, the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Cast all of your cares upon him. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's when you start getting fretful and anxious about stuff. Maybe God didn't even enter your mind. You're just worried. You're just worried. See, now the devil's coming because you're devourable. If you're doing anything in your own strength, you're devourable. Again, we're looking at that pole raised up, that grace, that rod. It's when you start looking at God's strength that you're undevourable by the devil. So you see there, if you catch yourself fretting or even anxious about anything, let that be your cue. Whoops. I'm worrying, Todd. Caught myself worrying. Sorry, I got to go pray. Be right back. Whatever it was you was fretful about, Father, in Jesus' name, blah, 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 blah. Here's your word. Thank you, Lord. Come back. Okay, we can talk now. I'm not fretting anymore. But Paul's given the secret right here. See, the word says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. All those little things that just, you know, eat at you all the time, see? Don't fret or have any. This is a real good preaching for Gary Carpenter, too, by the way. This is a whole lot easier to preach than it is to walk in. Do y'all understand that? But I'll be honest with you. I can't remember the last time I worried about money. And that was a battle. I'm telling you, that was a battle. When it finally was no longer in my head, finally me and Jesus had this heart thing going. He called me to do this. He's going to pay it. I tell people, you're going to pay for it. I tell people all the time, I write the checks here, but I don't pay the bills.
Amen.
See, I've got someone who pays the bills because I'm working for him.
Amen.
Now, he has me write the checks out now, but I'm not responsible for the bills. It's so nice to be free. Now, if I can get that free in all these other areas, I'm just like you guys. That's one I had to get free in. You understand what I'm saying? It's nice to be that way. Hallelujah. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests. Tell God what you want. With thanksgiving. Why? He heard you. Thank Him now.
Amen.
Thank Him now. He heard you. It's on the way. Continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content. Anyway, the peace that transcends all understanding. I don't like their wording. And it's in brackets, so it's not the Greek. It's their opinion. Which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Regardless of their scholarly translation, I'll tell you what it means. You get to know Jesus will never fail you. You'll quit worrying. That's what he's talking about. If you remember to pray. Todd, when it once breaks, someday it's going to break through, Todd. And it's going to go, oh yeah, Jesus likes me and stuff. Oh yeah, let's see. It's going to get real simple all of a sudden. He loved me enough to die for me. Maybe he'd pay my light bill.
Shandai.
Revelation time. Let's see. He loved me enough to shed his blood for me. Gee, I wonder if he'd heal my body. Yeah. Yeah, he will. See, it gets real simple when it starts getting in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm hearing him say, it's enough. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, every person in this room wants to walk with Elohim, including me, or we wouldn't be here tonight. Father, just teach us. I know you've sent your spirit. Help us, Lord, every time we get fretful or anxious or worried. Lord, help us. Remember, that's our cue to pray to the God who cannot lie and who will never fail us, Father. Father, I thank you for every person in here that they remember this. Father, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit came, He would put us in remembrance of the Word. Lord, I thank you for putting us in remembrance by your Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I thank you for these people. Amen. I feel sorry for you guys on tape that are only hearing this by tape, because here we have banana pudding. Here we have Boston cream pie. And here we have a double chocolate cake. Ah, what can I say? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah.